It's just gone 9:20 Central African time. You are listening to the Monday Morning Mix and time for the Basic Fiqh program with Mufti Zubair Bayat. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Mufti Saab, an early start to the program. As we understand, you are on your way, inshallah, shortly for a janazah. It is to start at 10 o'clock, so inshallah at about 9:45 we'll terminate with the program. So let's get straight into the program, inshallah.
Yes, Maulana, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the marhumin, Jannatul Firdaus and Maghfirat. This is one of our brothers who passed away, fortunate enough to pass away in the first of Zulhijjah. Today being the first of Zulhijjah, it's a very beginning of a very important and significant month in the Islamic calendar. And this month of Zulhijjah is actually one of the great months in the Islamic calendar. After the month of Ramadan, perhaps it is the most significant month, in that two great acts of ibadah are carried out in this month, the ibadah of Hajj and the ibadah of Udhiyah or Qurbani. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasize the importance of these 10 days and nights of Zulhijjah, wal-fajr wal-ayalin ashr. The Holy Quran has taken an oath on the importance of these days and this month of Zulhijjah, especially the early part of this month. Nevertheless, being the first of Zulhijjah is just an opportunity to also remind all our listeners that do not forget the importance of these days. Try to keep the fast as far as possible. Try to stay up and do some ibadah in the night as far as possible, because these are indeed days of ibadah. These are nights of ibadah. These are days of fasting. These are days of reciting a lot of tasbih and the third kalima, as we call it, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Because Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically replied or mentioned the importance of this tasbih, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّحْمِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. He emphasized the importance of the third kalima as the zikr of these days. So let us keep this all in mind. And of course, it's to lead us up to the great day of sacrifice, the 10th of Zulhijjah, the day of Eid al-Adha, and it also leads us up to the other very important day in Zulhijjah, that's the 9th,
yes,
which is the day of Arafah. So, therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. الشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ means the odd and the even. Or the even and the odd. And what is meant by the even and the odd, what is meant according to some mufassirin, the 9th and the 10th of Zulhijjah. That both these days are extremely significant, the 9th of Zulhijjah being the day of Arafah and the 10th being the day of Eid al-Adha. Why the day of Arafah is so significant? Well, for the Hujjaj, it is understood that Al-Hajj wal-Arafah, the Hajj is all about the day of Arafah. The best day of Hajj, perhaps the best day in a person's life, in the sense that total forgiveness and maghfirah can be secured in Arafah as no other place and no other occasion in the world like in the Maidan of Arafah. So, that is as far as the importance of Arafah for the Hujjaj is concerned. But those people who don't go for Hajj, people like us who have stayed behind, we also should understand the greatness of the day of Arafah. Because Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding this 9th of Zulhijjah, for the one that fasts, that أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ وَالَّتِي بَعْدَهُ. That this day of Arafah is such a day that it is hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person sin of the past and the future year will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for fasting on the day of Arafah. So this day itself is also a very great day, even for those who are not there for Hajj. This is in addition to the rewards that are mentioned for fasting on the days of Zulhijjah, which is the equivalent to 1 year of fasting. So if a person fasts at Arafah, he gets 1 year of reward plus 1 year sins before and after are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how great the fasting of the day of Arafah is. So if we are unable to fast all of the days, then at least we should make an effort to fast on the day of Arafah and not miss the great reward of the fast of Arafah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to appreciate this very great spiritual season that has come upon us at this point in time. Thereafter, we will now, inshallah, discuss some aspects of the sacrifice. As I had mentioned previously in the previous week's program, that this sacrifice actually originates in the act of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, and he complied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. He submitted himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, and he took Ismail alayhi salam to Mina to carry out the order of the sacrifice of Ismail as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded him in a dream. So this being that great sunnah and practice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, it is also important for us to know certain aspects of Ibrahim alayhi salam's life. I'm not too sure last week if we had touched on some aspects, Maulana, of Ibrahim alayhi salam's life.
Jee, Mufti Sahib, we did start over that in brief, and we then branched off to, as we moved into the program, we had a few queries, about 6-7 of them.
Correct. So let us just look at some of the beautiful qualities in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. For one, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a very, very pure heart. The heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam was a very pure and clean heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Holy Quran, إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Ibrahim alayhi salam came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a very sound and pure and clean heart. So this is a beautiful quality that we all should try to apply in our lives and try to develop in emulation of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because the act of sacrifice of the animal is the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We are trying to follow his sunnah on this day of Eid al-Adha. So part of following his sunnah is to try and adopt the qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And one of the qualities is the purity of the heart. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Holy Quran, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there is a good role model for you in Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is an excellent role model for this ummah. And the qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam as a role model, we should try to adopt those qualities. So the importance of, you know, the purity of the heart, and to work for the purity of the heart is so important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Holy Quran regarding the importance of this, that يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The day of judgment is that day that your wealth and your children, your family, they are not going to be of benefit to you. But yes, when you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a pure heart, that pure heart that you present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see. Is your heart pure and clean of shirk, of nifaq, of malice, of hatred, of shak, of doubt, of kufr. These are the things that the heart has to be purified of, and the heart has to be cleansed, and jealousy and all other evil qualities have to be removed from the heart. So this is the great sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a pure heart. This is a great quality of Ibrahim alayhi salam that we also should try to adopt.
Mufti Sahib, there's a question if you allow
us to take it.
It says here, Assalamu alaikum, Saudi Arabia has started one day earlier, so when will be the 9th of Dhul Hijjah for us?
For us, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah will be in accordance with our calendar. It is possible in different parts of the world, they have different days of Arafah, they have different days of Eid, they have different days of beginning of Ramadan, different days of Eid al-Fitr, different nights of Laylatul Qadr. This is possible. So, for us, we will go with our calendar, and our day of Arafah will be on Tuesday, inshallah. In Saudi, they will have it on Monday, but our day of Arafah will be on Tuesday. So we will fast, etc., on Tuesday, and we will exert ourselves in Ibadah on that day, because that is the day of Arafah for us in this country.
MashaAllah. We can continue with this up.
Okay, so as we were discussing, you know, the purity of heart, this is one of the great qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then we also see in him the quality of total submission and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders, and this is what is called Islam. Being a true Muslim, a Muslim in the true sense of the word. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, is qala lahu rabbuhu aslim, qala aslamtu li rabbil alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim alayhi salam that surrender yourself. So he said, aslamtu li rabbil alameen, I surrender myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is rabbul alameen, the Lord of the universes. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was the one who surrendered himself totally. In other words, he adopted Islam fully. He was a Muslim in the true sense of the word. We are also Muslim, alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great favor upon us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslim. But, you know, in most instances, we are just carrying the title of Muslim. But the reality of being Muslim, that we still have to work upon to develop to a great extent. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was a Muslim in the perfect sense of the word, and so we should try to emulate him in this respect as well, that we should not just be Muslim in name. That, okay, you are Muslim, yes, my name is Musa, Ahmed, Fatima, Aisha. So, yes, you have a Muslim name, no doubt. But then, where are the practices of Islam and the ways of Islam to be seen? By right, everyone should be actually a walking example and a moving example of Islam, that the people around us, when they see us, they see Islam. And then they are attracted to Islam, and many then come into the fold of Islam, not by words or messages or speeches, but by our deeds and actions. As we find in the case of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they did not really give many lengthy speeches. They displayed the true manners of Islam, and people were automatically attracted to that, and therefore we find that all they would say to the people is kunu mislana, just be like us. That's all. In other words, follow our example, follow our footsteps, and you will attain what you were hoping to attain. In other words, people wanted to be like them, and they wanted to have that kind of piety and righteousness and goodness, etc., which Sahaba had. So they would just say, kunu mislana, be like us. Because they were the true role models. They were living Islam. They were living the teachings of Islam in full. They were in the true sense Muslim. This is what we need to strive for. So when we are doing the Qurbani and we are, the period is leading up to the Qurbani, then it is a time for us to develop within us all of these great qualities of the personality whose sunnah we are going to be practicing on the day of Eid al-Adha, that is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So that was the other great quality of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the quality of submission and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one blatant and clear example of that is we see when on the occasion of the sacrifice, that he was willing to take his son Ismail alayhi salam without any questioning or without any kind of hesitation. He was ready to carry out Allah's order. And on another occasion, when he left Ismail alayhi salam and Hajar in the desert of Arabia, that was also on the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there also we see total submission from Ibrahim alayhi salam. He did not question or try to find out the reason, Ya Allah, why must I leave my wife and children alone in the desert? What will happen to them? Who will take care of them? What will happen? How will they manage? How will they survive? Nothing. It was Allah's order, and he went and left them, and he continued. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then took care of them, and Allah provided the means of their survival. The story is well known of the origination of the Zamzam by the kicking of the feet of Ismail alayhi salam. So these are glaring examples of a person who surrendered and submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order without question. So this is that great quality that needs to be developed, this quality of submission that we find in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Thereafter, we see also amongst the other great qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam is the quality of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam, Shakiran li an'umi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Ibrahim alayhi salam had one amazing quality of being very grateful for Allah's favors upon him. Now this is a beautiful quality, the quality of being shakir, the quality of being grateful. And this quality is a quality that all of us should strive to build and to develop, the quality of gratefulness. Many a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we witness, we experience, we enjoy, but we totally forget to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, does the words Alhamdulillah or Shukrulillah ever come on our lips in gratitude for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we enjoy? Or it may come very casually, or it may come very sporadically or irregularly, but it's not a regular thing, it's not an ongoing thing. Sometimes in between we may remember and we say Alhamdulillah or Shukrulillah, or it's done more in a kind of a routine, mechanical way without the true spirit behind it. For example, a person had his meals and he read the dua Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana, but he didn't actually reflect for a moment that what dua I'm reading and what favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this has been, that this food was presented before me and I enjoyed every bit of it. So we see from this that the quality of gratitude is something that needs to be developed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, praises Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran, that he was from those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was shakiran li an'umi, very, very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
MashaAllah.
So these are just among the qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was also a very hospitable person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the hospitality of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about the quality of Ibrahim alayhi salam of being very soft-hearted. He was a very soft-hearted person. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a very, very tolerant person. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a very obedient person. Besides the quality of submission of kana hanifa muslima, he was also qanitan lillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Ibrahim alayhi salam, qanitan lillahi hanifa. So he was very obedient. The quality of obedience was found in him in perfection. So these are some of the aspects of the qualities and the attributes of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the beautiful legacy that he has left behind. So when we are doing the sacrifice of the animal on the day of Eid al-Adha, then let it be that we are not just following the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the sense of slaughtering an animal, but also an occasion for us to imbibe and inculcate within us the qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the attributes of Ibrahim alayhi salam, so that this act of sacrifice will become even more meaningful and more beneficial and more rewarding and more impactful in our lives. I think, inshallah, we'll conclude on that note, Maulana. I would have to take leave. So we make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the program, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everybody a beautiful 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and the marhum who has passed away, and all the marhumin who have passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them maghfirat and jannatul firdaus. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Just before Mufti Saab goes, if you could answer one more query, Mufti Saab?
Mufti Saab? Go ahead, Mohan.
Ji, the query is that, is it necessary to spend so much of money behind the kiswa and to change it every year? What is the logic behind that?
Well, you know, it's been a practice from the very earlier years of Islam. And what happens is, over the period of time, the kiswa does deteriorate. And, you know, eventually it will crumble, it will fall away, it will fall off. So this is the reason why there is a need to replace it. A year in the sun of the Arabia, you know, it's exposed to the sun day and night. It's exposed to the sun 365 days of the year virtually. So obviously what happens is that it does become brittle and it breaks away. So this is the reason why the replacement has to take place.
Interesting indeed. Jazakallah khairan for your time. Much appreciated. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It has gone 9:48 Central African Time. You are listening to the Monday Morning Mix on Radio Islam International. Yes, we've got a few more minutes before the program ends off. And what I want to talk to you about is these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. You've heard it many times. Alhamdulillah, you've been conscientized several times during the course of the programming throughout the weekend. But there's always new listeners and people tuning in at different times of the day. Earlier on my program, also on the early breakfast show between 5 and 6, which airs on weekdays, Mondays to Fridays, I was also discussing this very briefly. I mentioned there that this is one of the most unique periods of the year where all five major ibadat, all the major ibadah that a person fulfills, is found in this phase. For example, Shahada is found as the first pillar of Islam. Salah is found as the second pillar of Islam. Third one, we are also required to fast in these days. Although it's not Ramadan, but the aspect of fasting is still found. The aspect of zakah, which means charity, actual zakah can also be given in these dates. And you can also give optional charity. So that's the charitable angle, four pillars of Islam found. And the fifth pillar of Islam, which is Hajj, is also found in this phase of the year. It's the only phase of the year where Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says, where all are found in one go. In Ramadan, you can't make Hajj. In Shawwal, you can't make Hajj. In Muharram, you can't make Hajj. In Rajab, you can't make Hajj. So whilst the other features of Islam are found during the course of the year, but not at all at once, this is one of the unique periods which sees all the major ibadat coming together, subhanallah, in the 10 days of Hajj. That's the first aspect. The second thing is that we are required to fast in these days, whichever day you fast, except the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, and the days of Eid, those days you cannot fast. فَإِنَّهَا أَيَّامُ أَكْلٍ وَشُرْبٍ وَبِعَالٍ. These are the days where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited for people to fast. But aside from that, from the 1st to the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, whichever day you want to fast, each day will secure you the reward of 1 year's ibadah and 1 year's of fasting. And each night you spend in worship, Allah will give you the reward of Laylatul Qadr. This is one narration found in the collection of Ahadith. So the first thing, we are required to fast. Number two, we are required to stand up at night. Number three, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. In these days, we are required to make excessive dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are ought to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly whenever we get a chance. That's the third thing. The fourth thing is, it is when the days of Tashriq sets in, that is the days of Qurbani, you find that it is wajib for the Muslims to call out the takbir, to chant out the takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. We are required to read this takbir whilst we are in the days of Tashriq. The fifth thing that we need to do is make Qurbani in these days. From the 9th to the 12th, from the 10th to the 12th of Dhul Hijjah, you've got 3 days to make Qurbani and to slaughter your sacrificial animal. For those who cannot afford, then the 200 option is always there, 200, 300, 400, whatever the amount is there. So don't discard that option also. Yes, maybe it's not compulsory upon you, so you don't want to do it. But then too, you can still get the rewards by participating in these kind of options that are available to the Muslim Ummah, mashallah. So those are the five things. The sixth item that we should be doing is excessive tawbah. On the day of Arafah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipates people in their thousands, not in their hundreds, in their thousands from the fire of Jahannam. So on that day, whilst the Hujjaj are extending their hands towards the sky and they're crying unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and requesting Allah to reform them and to redeem them and to change their lives, likewise we as the believers throughout the globe are also required to extend our hands and cry unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek forgiveness. The ibadah of the day of Arafah is Hajj, is Tawbah, I beg your pardon, is the essence of the day to make Tawbah and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is extremely important for us to keep in mind. So these are some of the pointers we need to keep in mind whilst we are in the blessed days of Dhul Hijjah. It brings us to the end of today's edition of the program. We'll be back tomorrow morning between 5 and 6 on the early breakfast show. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.